Hebrews chapter number 11, we have been working our way through the book of Hebrews, and we are now in what some people refer to this as the hall of faith. And may I say that in God's eyes, the hall of faith is the hall of fame. And faith is described in a wonderful way. Really, we learn many lessons throughout this chapter, and we've been dealing with each individual, and there's really a lesson in each of these individuals' lives, and they teach us all several things about faith, what it does in our lives, what it accomplishes in our lives. We dealt with Abel, then with Enoch, Noah, Abraham. And now we come to Hebrews chapter 11, but notice verse 11, we come to Sarah. Now, at the surface, when I began reading this, I thought, Sarah? She's known for one thing to me, and that's laughing. Isn't that what maybe would be your thought? Maybe what prompted your thought? That's the first thing. Maybe it's just carnal of me to think that way, but that's the first thing that I thought of. But notice here what she's included in this chapter with Abel, Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, and now Sarah. So there is something that God wants us to know about faith when it pertains to the life of Sarah. Notice verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now I want you to notice in verse 11 again, because when I first began to read this, I thought through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. See that? I thought maybe it's still talking about the faith of Abraham. But by the end of the verse it says, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. So it is indeed talking not about the faith of Abraham. It is talking about the faith of Sarah. And there are some things this evening that we can learn from this person here, particularly Sarah, but about faith particularly. Now, we've been dealing here with the subject of faith because everything in the book of Hebrews has been building to this point in chapter number 11. He has pointed out some things that was going on in the life of these Hebrew Christians through persecution, according to chapter 10, and many of them that had been made fun of had been excommunicated, and so there were some struggles going on, and there was this idea of let's go back to Judaism, and he's trying to help them understand that there's a lack of maturity in their life. He's trying to point them that the problem is faith. They were struggling to believe the promises of God. They were struggling to believe the Word of God. And the Bible reminds us here throughout this chapter, in chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. There is no other way for the just to live but to live by faith. He tells us in verse 6 of chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. That's God. So again, faith is the absolute necessity of the Christian life. Everything that we do is by faith. Now, when it pertains to Sarah, I want you to notice, because the Bible talks about this faith of Sarah, that she delivered a child when she was past age. That means she should not have been able to deliver a child, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. I want to speak this evening on the effectual power of faith. The effectual power of faith. What happened here because of faith, through faith, was powerful, was miraculous. Now this again was the plan of God. This is through the seed of Abraham would come the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We understand the implications of all that. But we see particularly God pointing out to us Sarah, and I want us to notice several truths concerning the faith of Sarah and the truth here that we're trying to learn this evening of the effectual power of faith. First of all, we're going to go right into the text here. Notice these verses. First of all, we see the progression of faith. The Bible tells us here, notice, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. It is as if God is telling us that this is herself. This is concerning her. Yes, Abraham was a man of faith. He was a tremendous man of faith. I mean, his name is mentioned throughout most of the New Testament. And so Abraham is known for his faith, but we wouldn't put Sarah in this category of saying that she was like Abraham. But God does point to us the faith of Sarah. Now, Sarah did not have a good record of trusting God before her conception of Isaac. She, as a matter of fact, doubted that God could give her a child. The doubt was so strong that she laughed at the promise. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18 and let's look at that. Genesis 18, if you turn there with me. And we'll see here exactly what happened. Genesis 18, notice verse number 9. Now, we're going to follow here the progression of faith, because when we start this off, we're going to see there's no way that she can attribute it to faith. But notice Genesis 18, pick it up in verse 9. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Notice verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' Then Sarah denied, saying, 'I laughed not,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'Nay, but thou diddest laugh.'" It seems, as we see here this passage, that Sarah did not seem to trust or to believe or to place her faith in what the messenger, or really Jesus Christ, or God, the messenger of God, said to her husband. She laughed. She thought it was so ridiculous, so far from what could be possible, that she ridiculed the truth. Now, Sarah failed when she sought, we remember, for the promised son by giving Hagar to Abraham. But may I say that today we also fail because we seek by our efforts to do what only God can do, and will allow and not allow any by himself to do so. And so when we think about this idea of laughing and ridiculing God, she took this into her own hands, what God had promised, and said, "I'll do this for God." You see, may I say that reaction was not a reaction of faith. When we take things into our own hands, it does not demonstrate faith. It demonstrates not faith in God, but faith in ourselves. That God is incapable of fulfilling His word and His promise, and therefore I must help Him to fulfill His word and His promise. May I say, God does not need any help. As Sarah, we must come back from our self-devised ways and enter into the new and the living way, which he's been trying to tell them in the book of Hebrews. And this new and living way is the way of faith. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 21, we find her having the child. Notice Genesis 21, a few pages to your right. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken." Surprise, surprise. "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him." Notice verse number 5. "And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, 'God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me.' And she said, 'Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age.'" Sarah mentions again, reminds us of the fact that she laughed at what God had said. Now, how why is the book of Hebrews chapter 11 describing us, Sarah's faith? Because it seems as we just look at it on the surface that there is no faith there on her part. But if we go to the book of Romans, notice in Romans chapter 4. By the way, the name of Sarah is only mentioned in three books in the New Testament. In the book of Romans, in the book of Hebrews, and in the book of 1 Peter. But notice here in Romans chapter 4, the subject here or the person of interest is Abraham. Now notice in Romans 4. And let's go down to verse 19. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Now speaking of Abraham, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Do you notice the language? As God describes for us the faith of Abraham, the Bible tells us that Abraham was of old age. That Sarah, notice, had deadness of Sarah's womb. But the Bible tells in verse 20 that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't stagger, he didn't waver on this promise. But the Bible says, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Think of, before Isaac came, he gave glory to God for that promise that had not been fulfilled yet. And the Bible says in verse 21, and being, notice, fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, Abraham, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, the Bible makes it clear here to point to us in this promise that God made to Abraham and to Sarah that the faith of Abraham was unwavering, was full, was complete. He did not doubt. He did not question God. He was fully persuaded by faith that what God had said in the promise of a son by whom he would bless all the world would be accomplished. He did not waver. May I say, could it be possible that now in the book, according to the book of Hebrews, that God points to us the faith of Sarah because God pulls the curtain away and shows us, do you think perhaps that the faith of Abraham that was unwavering, that was on sight, that did not deviate, influenced Sarah? I say to you, yes. Because 1 Peter chapter 3, notice let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. The second time, apart from the book of Hebrews, where the name of Sarah is mentioned. Notice 1 Peter chapter 3. Now he's giving here specific instruction concerning the behavior of women, but notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. Now notice here the language. The holy women of old, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And now here he says in this epistle to remember Sarah. And he speaks of Sarah's faith. He speaks of Sarah and how she was willing to obey her husband and to be submissive to her husband. And may I say that as perhaps she saw the unwavering faith of her husband Abraham, that in turn it developed faith in her life to think, well, how can he be so persuaded? How can he be so convinced? How could he not deviate from the promise while he is so old and there is no possibility of me bearing a child? Why? Do you think perhaps that faith of Abraham influenced the faith of Sarah? Well, apparently it did. Because by the time she had Sarah, it makes it clear in the book of Hebrews, it is through faith that she conceived. Her faith, herself. So somewhere between Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 21, Abraham's faith that was so strong and strongly committed into what the words of God had said influenced Sarah, and she trusted God. Now, we say, well, how much faith did she have? Well, there is scripture in the Word of God that says you don't need much. Didn't Jesus say, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains? My mother had a necklace, a little round, with a little grain of mustard seed in the middle of it. You almost can't see. You have to come up close to see. It's so tiny. Jesus Christ As he looks at the people who were following him, he says, if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you would be able to move mountains. Now, he says that just after they say, well, why weren't we able to cast out devils? He says, because of unbelief. What was he telling the disciples? You just need a little bit of faith. And may I say, the great faith of Abraham that was unwavering produced a little bit of faith in the life of Sarah. Enough faith to trust God and to say, you know what? Maybe I ought to believe God. And she did. And through her faith herself. So may I say, as we think about the effectual power of faith, may I say that there is nothing in Sarah's life that we can say, wow, she was this mighty woman as her husband Abraham. No, but we see the progression of that faith. Do you think for a moment that as that faith developed in Sarah's life and then she conceived, can you imagine how strengthened and how strong her faith was? Just because of that little bit of faith, that God accomplished something in just a little bit of faith, there is that faith progressed and became something great, so great that God mentions her in the hall of faith with her own husband Abraham, who was unwavering in the faith. So we see in the effectual power of faith, the progression of faith. And you say, well, I don't consider myself to be this great person of faith. May I say that allow your faith to progress. Trust God just a little bit. Would you just commit to God and to His Word just a little bit and see what God will do? And I guarantee when you see the result of what happens in your life by trusting Him by faith, that that faith will grow and grow and grow just little by little. So the effectual power of faith begins with a progression of faith, with it developing. And may I say how important it is for us to perhaps also follow the example of Abraham. You know, some people may have a little bit of faith, but some people need to have great faith as Abraham, that is unwavering, completely trusting in the Word of God, because that influences those that watch us. So number one, we see the progression of faith, but number two, we see the practicality of faith. The Bible tells us, notice in Hebrews, I got to go back there in Hebrews, chapter 11. He says, notice, through faith, also Sarah herself received, notice, she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So she delivered a child, she received strength. She conceived and she delivered a child in her old age. In other words, Sarah's faith was demonstrated in a very practical area, childbearing. You know, sometimes we think that faith is being only something like worship. Or perhaps we also think of big endeavors such as, well, Noah building the ark, and or Abraham leaving his own country, and we think of these great big accomplishments. But I say faith is also true in the practical areas of life, such as childbearing. These areas are certainly places of faith, but faith can apply to the common and personal areas of life, such as childbearing. Now, we must certainly claim our faith to be not in childbearing, but in the Word of God. You see, what was her faith in? It was impossible in the eyes of the human understanding for Sarah to have a child. But God said she would. So may I say that faith, again, is pointing us to the revealed Word of God, what God had said to Abraham. So what did she have to trust in? Not in her own ability to conceive a child. She had to trust in what God had said. And there's a difference. Sometimes I'm just going to trust myself that this can be done. No, it is trusting in God and His revealed Word. And by the way, there are many examples of that in God's Word. You remember when the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, as he was sent to Rome because of his imprisonment, and then you have this, you know, huge storm that takes place, and you know, everybody lost all hope. Let's go there. Acts chapter 29. I want you to see how practical faith is. Acts chapter 26. I don't know if I said 27 or 26, but Acts 26, notice verse number 20. It's actually chapter 27. Did I say 26? It's 27. I went back and forth. All right, notice verse 20 of Acts 27. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You know what that means? They all knew at that point they were all going to die. That was common knowledge. The sailors acknowledge that. The Roman soldiers acknowledge that. The prisoners acknowledge that. Everybody was going to die. The storm is too great. We're all going to die. Notice verse 21. But After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, see that? Saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and Lord God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. So consider this here. The example, by the way, again, that shows us the same thing as Sarah. Sarah was incapable. It was impossible for her to conceive a child. In this same situation of the Apostle Paul and those present on the ship, it was impossible. The tempest was too strong. They were all going to die. All hope was gone. But what happened? God spoke to Paul. And he said something to him. And you know what Paul said? Paul had no ability to save people. Paul had no ability to calm the storm. And may I say, in this particular situation, the storm never went away. They arrived to shore while the storm was still going on. And so really, as we think about this practical sense, what did Paul say? He simply said this, God told me, and I want everybody to know more, that's it. I believe God. May I say, that is the practicality of faith. It is not in what we think we can do or accomplish that is impossible. We are incapable of, as human beings, to do the impossible. But we sure do know someone that is capable of doing the impossible, and that is God. And so the people of God must simply say this. It's not, well, I believe I can do this. No, I believe God and what He said. You see, practical faith says that. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Whether it be in the midst of the storm or whether it be in childbearing. Sarah, at some point in her life, had to say, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And may I say, today it is the same thing for us. We have to say the same thing. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So we see not only, notice the progression of faith, the practicality of faith, but number three, we also see the praise of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews, if we go back there, notice Hebrews 11, that she, Sarah, judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. She judged him faithful, who had promised. May I say that when we exercise our faith, when we simply say this, you know what? God has said, and I want everybody to know, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. You know what that engenders in our life? You know what that produces in our lives? It produces praise. Praise for what? Well, two things in this passage. It produces, first of all, notice the praise for God. Faith praises God, but also faith praises God's Word. The Bible says here, she judged Him, God, faithful. And may I say that we can never bring praise to God. A world will never see a God that's high and lifted up, that is praised by His people, if we never by faith trust in what He says. And so here we see that Sarah was able to count Him faithful. She was able to lift the name of God up. Why? Because He was found faithful. And may I say, God will always be faithful. He will never fail. He is always faithful. Faith praises God, but also faith praises God's Word. She judged Him faithful, what? Who had promised. You see, two things are exalted. Not only is God exalted and praised by our exercise of faith, but also the Word of God is praised by our exercise of faith. You see what that does? It places people's confidence as they look at our obedience to faith, and they see that when faith is exercised, God brings it to pass. And now when a person looks at that person's faith and what it has produced, now the Word of God is praised. The Word of God is lifted up. The Word of God is deemed worthy even by an unsaved world that says, well, it seems to me that you just had just a few short weeks to live, but God has given you years. That's impossible. It's not possible in the eyes of men, but God can make it possible. What does that do? It points people and exalts the Word of God. Not just God's name, but God's Word. That's what faith does. Faith praises, or we see the praise of faith. So we see the progression of faith, the practicality of faith, the praise of faith. But number four, we see the power of faith. The Bible tells us that Sarah, notice, received strength to conceive seed. Now, we know, according to the Bible, that it had been after the manner of women, whether she could not have a child. And it was delivered and was delivered of child when she was past age. What power there? Now, we know God is the originator of life, so God can do anything. Just as a child was conceived, Isaac was conceived in the womb of Sarah, just as Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. God is able to do that. But may I say here, the power of faith is this. The Bible says that she received strength. May I say that faith makes us strong. Those without faith will grow weaker and not stronger. Sarah needed strength to bear a child. Especially did she need strength in her old age, and by faith, she obtained that strength to bear a child. You know, some skeptics today, they claim that faith is for the weak-minded. For those that need a crutch to help them get through life. They want something they can hope in since they have lost all hope. But may I say that faith is just the opposite. Faith is powerful to accomplish something in people's lives. It strengthens people. I just think of the life of Moses. I was considering this evening before the service. Moses, think about it. When he was called to go, why would he go? He was comfortable where he was. He went. And he was a witness. God said, I will deliver my people. And then the 10 plagues happened. God said, all right, put your staff into the water. And the water turned to blood. Whoa. Does that seem like faith is weak? Or is faith powerful? Faith is powerful. That faith is seen later. Think about it as they leave the parting of the Red Sea. God again said, put your staff in the water. And there the water spreads apart. And by the way, it was not something that was shallow. Okay? And even if it was shallow, it would have been a greater miracle because all the Egyptians drowned in the shallow water. That would have been amazing. So either way, it was powerful. Think about the. Can you imagine Moses as all the people were sick because of their unbelief, and then God sent snakes and they were all bitten by snakes, and God said, you know, just make a brazen serpent and then lift it up in front of all the people, and then those that will look to the brazen serpent will be healed. Can you imagine the power that took place of faith, of the faith of Moses that says, all right, here's the serpent. If you look to the serpent, you'll be healed. And all those that looked were healed. Those that didn't look died. And may I say that we see the power of faith in the life of Abraham, and may I say the power of faith can be demonstrated in our lives. Faith will strengthen us and not weaken us. Here we have, we trusting in someone else weakens us. No, it actually strengthens us, especially if we're talking about faith in God. You can trust other people, but they will fail. At some time, not perfect. But God cannot fail. And may I say, there is nothing weak about trusting in God who possesses all power. Again, as I mentioned earlier, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye had faith as of a grain of a mustard, ye shall be able to move mountains. Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. May I say, little faith, or little faith, great power. No faith, no power. What did God require of His disciples? Little faith. Little faith, move mountains. Just a little bit. Great power. Just a little bit of it. But no faith, no power. The power of faith is seen in Sarah's life. Think about what she was accomplished. Not just the miracle of the conception in the womb, but the strength to deliver, physical strength to deliver a child. You find many times in the Word of God when women were older, they passed away in childbirth. Why? Because of their strength in their old age. They didn't have the strength to go through that. But we see lastly, not only the progression of faith, the practicality of faith, the praise of faith, the power of faith, but lastly, the productivity of faith. In verse 12, he says, therefore, through her faith, notice, sprang there even of one. How many children did Sarah have? One. God promised what? A multitude. That even are greater than the amount of stars in the sky. There are going to be so many, you're not going to be able to number them. But she produced one child. And him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now, in our minds here, God is pointing out to us that it may seem like something small because she just produced one child. It seems like it's not really that big of a deal. But may I say, throughout the pages of the history of the Word of God, it is a big deal. Because that little faith that she exercised and saw the power of God manifested in her life as she was able to praise God and praise His Word, now we see the product of that faith is unfathomable. Do you see that little faith? What he shows us, he pulls the veil away, and he says, notice here, as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. The faith of Sarah, the little bit that she had, produced something in the life and influenced the world. The Messiah came through the lineage of Abraham and Sarah. The whole world was blessed because of the faith of Sarah. And may I say, if our faith is going to be, if we're going to be productive in the Christian life, it must be by faith. We really don't really comprehend or understand the impact of faith, but it has a multi-generational impact. Sarah, by faith, again, gave birth to one child, Isaac. But the bigger picture shows the productivity of her faith in that through Isaac, the descendants numbered as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. So no doubt God wants to mention Sarah here because of what? How her faith impacted the world. Now, I doubt that that's what she thought at that moment. It was one child. And God told Abraham and Sarah, an innumerable. But may I say that faith does not look to the future. God does. God does. Sarah thought, one child. That's not like the stars of the sky or the sand by the seashore that's innumerable. But God saw down the line what would happen as a result of that little bit of faith. Faith is not there to glorify ourselves and to puff ourselves up. Faith is there to glorify God, to lift His name up, to see what He can do with just a little bit of faith. You know what God wants of you? A little bit of faith. He wants that faith to grow. He wants that faith to progress, to mature, to be strengthened. But it has to start with a little bit of taking God at His Word. So we see this evening, as we consider the life of Sarah, the effectual power of faith. May I say, as I said that at the end there, little faith, great power. No faith, no power. Let's ask the Lord to help us this evening.